Any Wizard of Oz fans here? Yeah? Wizard of Oz is great. However, it's hard to imagine why you would want to go from Oz back to Kansas. I don't know how that works. Well, actually, I do know how that works. And we actually all know how that works because there actually is no place like home. You can go on the coolest, most awesome, and amazing vacation, and yet, when you get back home, there is a whole nother rest that happens. Your home, your domicile, your bed, your bathrooms, your place, it's home, which is amazing that the heart craves for home that way. And yet still, it is entirely possible. In fact, I'd say it's probable that even with your home, there are parts of it where you wish things were a little bit different. Like maybe if there was something could be better, or if we could do this and improve this area, or fix the lawn, or do this thing, or maybe next year we could fix this, or maybe next time we could add that. We often will have those experiences. Even with the beauty of our own homes, we still feel like it's not quite enough. And what I just want to submit to you this morning, that while our homes, by the grace of God, are nice, there is no place like our final home. And the reason we're not quite all the way there yet is because Jesus has something far beyond what we could possibly imagine. And he actually gives us from his own heart a call to begin to wonder what he has for us. You're there in John chapter 14. He looks at the disciples as he's been teaching them and training them and being honest with them about some of the challenges that do exist in this life. But he wants to say something to them in the midst of this really messy, not perfect, frustrating, sometimes hurtful, sometimes painful world we experience. And here's what he wants to say to all of us. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not, just read those words. Let not your hearts be troubled. Okay, why? Well, believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, here's the good news. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. In other words, Jesus is making a home for us. So we were meant to have desires and longings for so much more than this. We are here in this beautiful life and we have beautiful homes and experiences by the grace of God. Sometimes we didn't have great homes. In fact, some of you grew up and home wasn't great. And what Jesus wants to say is in and through this life, no matter where you're at, there is something greater that I have for you. I'm preparing something for you. Get your head and your heart, your mind, your soul around this truth. Because the warning is, it is so easy to find ourselves so tied up in everything that happens in the here and now. And he's inviting us, come up here. Think with me, long with me, hope, for I have something for you with me. We're not home. It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy what we experience. We can't have delight in this life. Doesn't mean that. But if eternal life, as we said last week, is actually a person, then we can have tastes of it now. But we're never going to be fully at home until we get to see him face to face. There is something greater. The disciple, Peter, the apostle, he put it this way in his first letter to the churches that he sent out to all the churches in Asia Minor. And he says in chapter 2, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. In other words, what he's saying is, you and I are here, but we're passing through. We're here for an hour. We're here for a moment. Like when you invite somebody into your home, they're there for a moment, but it's not their final place. So don't let your heart get so wrapped up in all of the things that you can gather for yourself here. That's what he's saying. You're on a journey to somewhere else. So don't get caught up in burning for just this life. There's something else here. Let your heart burn for that. Let your hope reach for that. Don't give your heart fully to a place that isn't your final home. Last week we said there is a reality that we are eternal beings, all of us, every person, image bearers of God, made to be eternal. Now, we're not God, we are eternal, we're not divine. Just for clarity, making that distinction. We are eternal, there's one divine one, and then the rest of us are made in his image. We are eternal. And there is eternal life, and Jesus says there is eternal death. But you and I will go on after this life. And in this life, the life that we live together, it will have a bearing on the age to come. And so the first and most important thing is, will you believe, put your hope and put your trust in this one who is preparing a place for us? For if you will, you will have the promise of fullness, eternal life. The scripture says that as followers of Jesus, how we live unto him and walk with him and obey him and trust him, they have a bearing on our experience with him forever. And Jesus wanted us to have this view in mind. He's saying, I'm preparing a place for you that will blow your mind. So don't let this life own you. Don't let this world take over you. Set your heart on what is final and eternal, what you were always meant for with God. Let your heart burn and hunger for it in a way that will keep you from letting the inferior pleasures of this life steal it away from you. I'm preparing a home for you, and it'll blow your mind. The thief on the cross, next to Jesus, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise. Paul actually quotes a text from Isaiah, from the prophet Isaiah, when he's writing to the church in Corinth. And he says, as it's written, 1 Corinthians 2, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, you haven't scratched the surface of actually what is to come. I have not scratched. I'm studying it this week. I still can't get my head around what is to come. So, as we said last week, awaken, be alert. Don't let your heart be fooled into putting all its stock in this temporal life. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves making this life the end-all be-all. That's the concern, because deep down we know this isn't it. It's not it. All the messiness and disappointments and hurt and sickness and all of the things, rejection, addiction, heartbreak, all of the things, the pain of this life, we know this place is messed up. This is not it. We were made for something more. We're meant to crave to go to a final home, a place that we were always intended to have with God in his presence. We were meant to have that, but here is the problem. It is hard to crave for that which we know nothing about. It's hard to get excited for the next age if we haven't allowed our hearts and our minds to wonder a little bit about what is next. The encouragement here is, have you imagined? Have you imagined what's next? For my 40th birthday, my wife knows that I am at heart just a nerd for history. That's all I really am. I'm a pastor and a nerd for history. I'm not a nerd for other things because I'm not smart enough. But for history, I'm there. And so she's like, hey, what if we went to Boston, the birthplace of the American Revolution? And I was like, that'd be amazing. All right. So we go to all of the cool places. Paul Revere's house. Amazing. The Old North Church, you know? I don't feel like y'all are appreciating this. I'm gonna be honest with you. Y'all are laughing at me, not with me right now. It's all right. It's okay. I'm strong. But can I just be honest with you about the trip was amazing. It really was. It was awesome. I think we were just, you know, there long enough. It was awesome. But half the gift was me spending 3 weeks geeking out on where we could possibly go. All of the places, thinking about, well, we could go here on this day, and then we could go over there, and then make sure we have an opportunity to do that and eat at that place, and then we could jump over to here. And it was like, that was half the gift, was just thinking about it, allowing my mind to ponder where we could actually go, what we could actually experience. And Jesus is saying, I've got something coming for you. Imagine. Like, let your heart wander so you can be divorced from a life you were never meant to be tethered to and have a hunger for something that you were always meant to have. Like, let your heart wander. Wake up and be alive and taste and see. Dude, you have no idea how amazing this is. That's what Jesus was saying. Randy Alcorn, who is the author of the book Heaven, which if you're looking for a way to just begin to wonder, I don't think it would scratch all the surface, but if you need a resource, I think it's a phenomenal book. He says in his book Heaven, he says, God tells us about heaven in his word, not so we can shrug our shoulders and remain ignorant, but because he wants us to understand and anticipate what awaits us. And the scripture keeps saying it over and over. Colossians 3, if you've been raised with Christ, if you're here and you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are here. In other words, how much have you contemplated what God has for you? Does it feel personal for you? I can't imagine what paradise actually is, because roughly in this room, there are 85 or 90 conceptions of what paradise is. All thinking about what paradise might could be. And the reality is, God will blow all of our minds with it. That's what's crazy. Set your minds on what's above. Let your heart get anchored in a future truth and reality that we can't see, taste, or touch yet, but we can have glimpses with him in the here and now. We can have little bits in the here and now. And that's what's crucial, critical, is to not let this temporary life steal from the hunger. Now, I just real quick want to say what is not awaiting us. Just, it's important. because there are a ton of like little, I think like cultural things that we tend to think about heaven or what is to come, what is to come. So let me tell you what it's not. We will not become angels with wings and puff sleeves. It's not in the Bible. I love a good puff sleeve. That's not the picture. We do not spend 7 billion years playing harps on fluffy clouds. Now, if you're into harps, it's possible. But for the rest of us, non-harpists, that's not what it is. We also do not become weirdos who speak in monotone voices and stare off into space, as is often shown in all kind of Hollywood depictions of angels who talk like this and look off into the distance. Oh, you of little faith. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's not it. That's not it. So the question is, what actually happens to us? What happens? And let me just establish really quick, there is a temporal heaven. And we talked about that a little bit last week, meaning immediately with Jesus, our spirit goes to be with him. And we'll expound on that. But the scripture talks more about the new heaven and the new earth. That gets unpacked in Revelation chapter 21. It is a trip to read. And after Jesus triumphantly returns, we get these glorified bodies. They'll no longer be broken. They will all be perfect. And we will reign with Christ in the new heaven and new earth. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple weeks. But I want to talk today just about what happens when we come into the presence of Jesus. So we've talked about what it's not. Here's what it is. Number one, our capacity for joy becomes limitless. Amen. Limitless. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is trying to give us a glimpse into this. And he knows what we all know, that this stuff's not working right. He says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What's sown is perishable, meaning these bodies we have, they're perishable. What's raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it's actually raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. In other words, our bodies in this life are sown into misery that we experience from this broken world. Pain, hardship, perishable. But what is coming is limitless. The way Jonathan Edwards talked about it, he says, you'll be enraptured with joys that are forever increasing and yet forever full. Get your mind around that. Forever increasing and yet forever full. The Bible says you and I will have a resurrected body far better than anything we knew on this earth. Like looking back, looking at your most cool, awesome self. You ain't there, brother, right? The text is gonna say our bodies will be stronger and fuller and more spiritual and more glorious, everlasting. And your delight and knowledge and intellect and your affections will be renewed and restored so that you might enjoy Christ with perfected bodies. Jonathan Edwards, the great pastor, revival leader, goes on to, he says, our earthly soul had only a little spark of divine love in it, but in heaven it shall be, as it were, turned into a bright and ardent flame like the sun in its fullest brightness when it has no spot in it. we'll have heightened senses, brand new experiences. I want you to imagine the coolest places you have been, the most like awe-inspired ocean, mountains, Grand Canyon, wherever you've been, Austrian Alps, wherever you go, you've been to that place and that's where you've been wowed. It's a shadow, a dim glimpse of what is to come. Your even capacity to take it in, you feel stunned, but you have a limit because we're in these limited bodies. And what the scripture's saying is you're going to a place that's limitless. It's far beyond. Hunger for it. Long for it. Let it turn your heart and affections. That's how we think about the days to come. Not only that, but we'll have unending waves of the discovery of the Son of God. Like wave upon wave. Because God is infinite, he can be infinitely enjoyed. Because he's infinite, he gets to be infinitely enjoyed. Meaning Jesus is not concerned about us running out of ways to keep up with our ever-increasing capacities to enjoy him. His character is endlessly deep and unsearchable and inexhaustible. Heaven will be an unveiling and unfolding forever and ever and ever. You can imagine, do this for me. Imagine the scope of the entire universe, trillions of shining stars burning brighter than the sun, magnificent constellations, billions of spinning galaxies, all magnificent, all vast, all colorful, all mysterious, and yet they all are finite. They have an end. The largest sun in the observable universe is more than 2,000 times larger than our sun. If you put it in the place of our sun, it would reach all the way to Saturn. I don't know if you can get your head around that. I just went super science on you. It's 2,000 times larger. It'd take you, if you got in a jet that went 600 miles an hour, it'd take you 1,200 years at 600 miles an hour to get around it. And yet, it's finite. It's got a start and a finish, a beginning and an end. We're going to a place with the one who has no beginning and has no end. We will have unending waves of the discovery of the majesty of God. We get tastes now, then we will have forever. His love, his grace, his kindness, his wisdom, his power, his mercy, they stand as never-ending infinite universes that will capture our affection and delight. There is an incredibly precious song in the kingdom, Amazing Grace. So grateful for that song. In it is a line. When we've been there, I would sing this, but I would mess up this sermon really bad. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining is the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And if we're not careful, we will think that to mean that heaven is just a really long church service. I don't believe that's what that song is saying. I think that song is trying to tap into a reality. At whatever concert, moment of enrapture you have ever experienced, the greatest you have had in this life, that's like, man, so awe-inspiring and amazing, and your heart feels alive and glorious. We've not touched the capacities that God will be giving to us to have that with him. It's not a long church service. It is the unveiling of the glories and the majesties, the unsearchable God. It's what we've always longed for. The coolest things we could do on this earth, they're little ant hills. And I'm so grateful for the tastes we get, right? Vacations are fun and good, and homes are fun and good. I'm so grateful. We get to live grateful for all of it. It's ant hills for what is to come. Let our hearts be enraptured with that. Let's live for that. And then finally, we, in this temporal heaven, we get just a front row view of God's divine plan that's unfolding, which is fun to just think about for a moment with your grandma or loved ones or those that have gone before us, getting to just sit back and go, oh my gosh, God, what are you doing? It's unbelievable to get to watch. Now, I won't make you raise your hands, but how many of you have gotten into a really good show and then you're like binge watching, right? You're like, oh, we can't talk about that. Come on, we all did it. You got into a show, it's like, this show is so good, and I just, next episode, right? You're so enraptured with the story. Church, this is what heaven is, watching the story of God unfold in front of your eyes, watching God's redemptive works across the earth, getting a front row view of it from the beginning. Randy Alcorn says, because God is continuously at work on the earth, the saints watching from heaven have a great deal to praise him for, including God's drawing people on earth to himself. It's amazing. We've been undone when God has done it for us. We get to be in partnership to watch it in the lives of those we love. And so here is the call. And these are just Jesus' words. So here's the call. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. In other words, let us today, March 1st on a Sunday, live, build, create for another day. Let our lives be oriented around what is to come. It doesn't mean our hearts can't be glad for the beautiful things we have here. It means let's live our lives oriented to building for the day that is to come with him. Let's fight the temptation to orient our lives or to find our joy and hope in what is temporal. Our richest treasures are with him. And the temptation is just to be deceived into thinking that we can live in ways that will end up being bound to this place. But if our source of joy is rooted in everything that is to come, then we actually get to stand in the fullness of what God has for us in the here and now, meaning we get to experience more fullness in this life when we allow our hearts to hunger for that day, to live for that day. We actually have another home. And if you're wrestling even to find joy in this life because you are going through something incredibly hard, because you are walking through something painful now, because you have experienced some heartache or brokenness, these encouragements from Jesus are to invite us into a freedom that is greater than anything this world could grant to us. Any circumstances we could get fixed or lined out, the promises from the heart of the Father is that you haven't begun to imagine what you will be granted in heaven. Let your heart go there. Trust him. Do not settle. I'll finish with just, in a moment, we're going to just receive communion together. Randy Alcorn, the author of Heaven, says, we need a generation of heavenly-minded people who see human beings and the earth itself, not simply as they are, but how God intends for it to be. Meaning we can see each other the way God has designed for us to see each other, and the broken world out there, what he wants to do in renewing it and changing it and transforming it and loving it. We can love this world around us because we can see where God is taking it, not from guilt and shame, but from fullness, from life. God has so much to give. So let's let our heart be anchored in this truth. Will you guys stand with me? Our team's going to come up and just lead us in worship. We're going to take these last few minutes to let our heart be anchored in what is true. In a moment, you're going to be invited to receive the most precious gift you have ever been given, we've ever been given. The body of Christ that was broken for us, the blood of Christ that was shed for us, represented in the bread and the cup. They are the full expression of the heart of God who wants our lives to be anchored in him and with him forever. So much so that he paid the ultimate price so you and I could be free. So can we ask for that now? Or would you root our lives in what is true? Your perfection given to us. Your body broken so we don't have to be broken. Your blood poured out so we are not alone but brought into the family. We give you our lives. We honor you. We praise you, Jesus. We imagine you high and lifted up. Can you allow your imagination? You gave it all so we could be with you. We see you in glory and majesty that you've shared with us. We long for that day. So we step into the here and now to have everything that you meant for us to have, to trust you, to follow you, to obey you. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, never asked him to cover you and wash you, to cleanse you, never given him your sin and shame and guilt and failures and brokenness, there's the invitation. Give it to him now. Offer it to him. It's an act of worship. Say, God, take my sin, take my shame, take my guilt. I want forever with you. Glory, majesty, splendor with you. Let us taste the beyond. Thank you, Jesus, for giving it all. We worship you. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come. You can come down the middle aisle and receive the elements. You're free to take them whenever you want. Our team is going to worship. And so after you receive the elements, you're free just to worship and magnify this one who has prepared a place for us. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can come and receive the elements.